Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. One of our community members, Kay Larson, was awarded and recognized as an Alaska Children's Trust Champion for Kids. She was on the show in the spring, bringing awareness on violence against children. And she's back with us today to talk about her recognition and her journey advocating for children. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Kay. Welcome back. And how are you today?
I'm feeling good, but I'm going to apologize once that my voice is really raspy. I think I'm just tired. And I'll be clearing it all the time. Other than that, I'm fine. Thanks.
It's okay. It happens. You sound great. So let's talk about Alaska Children's Trust, which, of course, advocates for kids. Could you give a brief description as to what the organization does?
Sure, I can do that. And anybody that wants more can always look up the Alaska Children's Trust.org.com. I'm not sure. But there's a lot of information there. And primarily, they invest in upstream. I'm reading this from their document. They invest in upstream prevention strategies to bolster families and communities, equipping them with the tools and resources they need to thrive. And when we say upstream, what we mean by that is it's absolutely imperative that when people are in crisis and they're in the stream and they're struggling to keep their head above water, we help pull them out and get them on dry ground again. But even better yet is to be able to move upstream and create conditions, offer resources, training, education, all kinds of things to help so that people don't fall in the river to begin with.
Yeah, thank you. And I just looked up the website. It's alaskachildrenstrust.org.
Org. Yep. Thank you. Org organization.
Yeah. So congratulations on your recognition as an Alaska Children's Trust Champion for Kids. What does it mean to have this recognition?
The word that I wrote down or thought about that came to mind was hope. Because we'll get into this later. When I looked around the room in Anchorage where the celebration was held, there were so many people there from across the country, across the state, north to south, east to west, and they're all contributing. And it just happens that four of us were selected this year to be honored as champions for kids. But honestly, there was so much evidence of the work being done for upstream prevention that it gave me a lot of feeling of hope for the future.
Yeah, that's really great. And that just leads into my next question about the celebration that was held in Anchorage last week. How was that for you?
That was a lot of fun. They had hors d'oeuvres. Really fun, fancy. Like I said, a lot of people, there were people from my grandkid was there with his little girl, Hazel. So there were family members there and friends that came out to support. But again, looking around the room and at the others that had come from different communities in order to participate in the celebration, there was high energy. Everybody was so welcoming, friendly, positive, upbeat. And they had made a large poster for each one of us highlighting the things that we've done with pictures. And I think that poster will be coming to Wrangell for the occasion on the 28th. But looking around the room, everybody was highlighted in that way. It was also a fundraising event for the Alaska Children's Trust. There were little bouquets on the tables, like, little, what do you call them, characters. I can't remember now. So it was very, it had all the elements of a celebration that you'd want, food and conversation. And then each one of us were given a plaque with some little Lego figures. That was that's what it was. Lego figures, big ones, that they filled with flowers for the table decor. But each one of us got a plaque. And mine, they all had five little Lego figures on them, and I just happened to have five kids. So I'm taking mine to mean one Lego figure for each of my kids.
That's really great. Yeah, that's great that you could go and attend that too. And you did just mention a potluck. There's an event coming up at the end of the month on September 28th. So I've seen the flyer. It's for this potluck to celebrate your dedication to this work on advocating for children and families. On the flyer, it says that you dedicated your life to fostering empathy and resilience in Alaska's children and families. Can we go back a little bit in time and you tell us how and why you started advocating for children and families?
Back in time, I'm 83, so that's back a ways. When I was a little girl, I had an older brother, and he was challenged with a lot of difficulties. I was 3 years younger than him, and my heart went out to him all the time that he struggled so much in school, with among his peers, doing anything academically or physically was really hard. And I think that just colored my world from day one, seeing him struggle. And then when we had our own children, starting in 1966, I began to wonder what kind of a world, what kind of education and training would best suit them. And around that time in 1971, my husband and I became Baha'is. That's the faith journey that we follow. And I became aware of the need for spiritual education in a way that opens up to the world and to being able to ask questions, to be able to search. And there was a model of education that I became familiar with called the Anissa model that was about how to learn and placing the arts at the center and the rest of the curriculum around the arts, because the arts are an expression or a way of addressing the unknown. And so, you know, there's a certain amount that we know just from observation and from what we take in through our senses, but there's a whole field of knowledge that is unknown to us apart from reaching into the imagination, to inquiry, and to other sources of knowledge that we don't find in our textbook at school. So I'm beginning to be aware that maybe there are two systems of knowledge. One, the book of creation, where we look around at the world and we begin to take things in that way. And all of science is on that pathway. And then the book of knowledge that comes from God through his teachers, his messengers or manifestations, and that these two bodies of knowledge are what propel civilization forward. That's kind of what that model was all about. And I began to see that that's what I wanted for our children when they were growing. I don't know if that quite answers your question, but yes, it's in that direction.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I don't think everyone knows what Baha'i is. Can you just go a little bit, because you did mention it. Can you just talk just a little bit about it?
Very briefly then. I could say there are three onenesses, that there's just one creator, and civilization, people in different cultures have used different names, different words for that. Some say God, creator, Yahweh. There are so many different names to express this essentially unknown essence. And then that all of mankind is really truly one family, and I think that's what we're struggling with in our world today, that because we put up barriers and erect walls between us that divide and separate us, we have a hard time working things out. And once we begin to see each other as one family with common goals, common needs, common hopes and aspirations, and then to be able to develop our talents to be of service to one another, you know, that's kind of the heart of what it is to be human, as I understand it. And then that these divine educators have brought teachings from the Creator to help us grow in our journey of knowing and loving Him and being of service to one another. That's it in a nutshell. Great. But there's a lot more.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's always a lot more to everything. Thank you so much. So I'm going to say that becoming Baha'i was part of the journey for, you know, in your life, of course, for advocating for, you know, social services, I would say, towards children and families. So how has the journey been for you, for advocating for kids and families?
Uplifting and, as I said earlier, hopeful. Not always easy, a bit of a struggle. One of the things that prompted me on this journey was living in the village of Cake, where we know the efforts to colonize the indigenous communities has been destructive beyond measure. And so there were a lot of things happening in the village that were wonderful. There were also things that were very difficult and challenging. And there was one year where between August and May, there were 8 suicidal deaths in the village. And I've probably talked about this on other occasions, but those were all preventable. Just because of conditions and because of the heartache of having to deal with the loss of so much of the culture and things related to it. I'm just saying that things like that have made the journey difficult, but then people came together and we formed a group that met on Saturday night. We called ourselves Saturday Night Live, and we had talking circles and supporting one another and trying to make life better for everyone. And I want to back up and say that my being a Baha'i is my journey, but the important thing is whatever journey we're on, to be able to honor one another, to be able to come together and share ideas, share energy, work together.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, you mentioned, Cake, you were part of that community in Cake. Have you advocated for communities and other communities as well, besides Cake and Wrangell?
I guess you can say it's my life story. When my husband was still alive, we had an opportunity to go to Russia, and there was a children's camp there. They used to have pioneer camps during communist days where the children would go to camp and the parents would go off for indoctrination. And these were wonderful for the kids. They would have all kinds of opportunities. Well, after communism fell in the way that it did, we were invited to be counselors in a camp where there were 300 kids. And I think there were 6 translators. We thought the Russian kids were learning to speak English, but it was minimal. And so we had these 6 translators between the 300 kids and the 20 counselors that were there. And we created lessons in, there were physical activities, there was moral education. We wouldn't maybe call it spiritual in that sense, but moral about developing character. There were social lessons and just arts and crafts and activities. We kind of made it up as we went, but we were there for a couple of months. And then we went back a couple of times to Russia, revisiting friends and always, always doing activities one way or the other, visiting schools and sharing. There was one program called the Virtues Project, which is a way of developing character through lessons and stories and acquiring virtues and developing and practicing them in everyday life. So they even had that material in Russian, so could easily share across those language barriers. So that was Russia, and then after Chuck passed, I went to St. Kitts in the Caribbean, did the same thing there. The first time I went, I think I stayed 5 months, and then I went back several times. And there was an effort then to bring the Virtues Project, which is a universal curriculum. It embodies all of the values that that are common to all religions and indigenous societies. There's agreement on that. And so the whole school system in that country, in St. Kitts, was open. excuse me. And there were trainings and all kinds of interactions with the schools and developing that curriculum. So I was a part of that. I'm going to cough again. And then China. I went 7 times to China, by invitation of one of the professors who is part of a program called International School of Collaboration. And so, again, there was an opportunity to engage with some of the professors and then students and their families. Once again, developing some crazy interactive activities because they wanted to learn English, but we also were able to focus on this core curriculum.
Wow. Okay. When was the first time you went to Russia?
1992.
And then when was the last time you went to China?
2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 1992 to 2017. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's impressive. So
when people see me on the street, they ask where I'm traveling next.
And do you have a...
Actually, yes. Wednesday, I'm leaving to go to Juneau to celebrate the oldest great-granddaughter's birthday. She's 7. Little Gracie. Some of you know her. And then on Friday up to Anchorage for another child education training conference, hoping that I can bring back some ideas for what we do here next.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday to your grandchild.
Yeah.
So back here in Wrangell, you are also part of BRAVE, which stands for Building Respect and Valuing Everyone. Will you talk a little bit about this organization?
Mm-hmm. We formed in 2017, and at the time I had been asked to serve as the rural board member for WISH, Women in Safe Homes, that the shelter in Ketchikan. So I was meeting monthly with them and then realized that we didn't have any avenue or outlook for advocacy here in Wrangell for anyone in crisis. Well, no, I can't say that entirely. The churches were actively responding, and of course people in the medical profession, but there was nothing unified. And so we formed, I think mostly to, I didn't bring our mission statement with, it's available, but to provide resources and help strengthen the ties of people in the community working together to, again, go upstream and prevent abuse from happening. But then some of the activities that we've come up with were strictly volunteer. So a lot of the activities that we come up with have been like the resilience fair that we have usually in the fall. But this year, the wellness fair, Search is putting on a wellness fair October 19th at the Nolan Center from 7 till noon. And because that's happening, we're going to move our resilience fair, family resilience fair, to the spring. We don't know yet. We don't have a date. We put together backpacks, meaning clothing, a blanket, and toiletries, and we have them at various locations around town. Different agencies have them on hand so that if someone is in crisis and they have to leave a situation on an emergency basis, they're able to get one of those backpacks and at least feel supported in that way.
How can people who don't know how to get one of the backpacks, who are in crisis, how can they reach out and get help?
So the police department, the medical center, mental health facility. I can't list them right now. I didn't bring that with me. But even if they just call the medical center, they could start there.
Yeah.
And there should be a list of the different places where they're held.
Yeah. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then Brave can be found on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which a phone number is on there.
Uh-huh.
Is there another way as well?
That's one of our challenges right now is that because we're not a 401, you know, we're not a nonprofit organization. We're just volunteers that get together. So there, people call me sometimes, but I can only advocate for other resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you did mention the Family Resilience Fair, which will be held in the spring. Oh, what is that?
Oh, that's been wonderful. agencies bring usually interactive activities. So there's some playfulness that goes on, strengthening families. But there are tons of resources available to help and support. And I could have brought a list of all the agencies, but it's just a fun time where people gather. We celebrate the babies that were born between the last fair and this one, the next one. And I have to give a plug to Malia Noor. She's from here, but she lives in Oregon, and she does so much work from a distance, contacting community agencies and businesses. So there are always door prizes and things like that that make it fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure we at KSDK will be announcing the fair when it happens.
Definitely. Definitely.
So let's talk about empathy. A lot of people get it confused with sympathy. And so to break this down, empathy is a trait where someone can actually feel certain feelings that someone is going through while sympathy is acknowledging someone else's pain. And I would say from an emotional distance, but still acknowledging it. Do you have anything else to add to these definitions of empathy and sympathy?
I think what you just said is correct, that sympathy acknowledges the pain, but from a distance. It doesn't really act. Whereas empathy, I think, puts a person in motion, doing something. Maybe it's more than expressing words, but various kinds of help and support.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So I would say most people who do social outreach feel either or maybe both empathy and sympathy. Why would you say this is important?
Because it stirs us to action. And again, going back to sympathy, it's kind of like, well, you poor thing. But empathy is, I get that. What can I do to help?
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Can you give an example of when you felt empathy during your work?
Sure. I mean, I mentioned already the suicides that occurred in the village, and what came of that was the group that met regularly in support of one another and to encourage others. But then it led into trainings and workshops and education. And it wasn't a direct part of what we did, but as we were leaving the village, there were trainers coming in from other areas to bring circle peacemaking, which was a restorative justice kind of program that they're still doing in CAKE. Mm. I just talked to somebody about it the other day.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And so what else is on the horizon for you when it comes to this work?
As I said, I'm heading to Anchorage this weekend.
That's right.
To collaborate with people and see what can happen. I really want to get the spiritual education program going again. I've been traveling so much, and my kids, there have been so many family activities this summer that I kind of got waylaid. But, you know, there's one other, I hope people will go to the Alaska Children's Trust website and check out the programs that they have, because one of the things that, well, we're running out of time, Malia wrote a grant, Tier 1 grant, and that $10,000 helped support the Itiwuklatsin running program that we had this year. And I could go on and on about that, but that was from the Alaska Children's Trust. And there's another program called HOPE, Healthy Outcomes from Positive Childhood Experiences, that offers trainings for families. We're hoping to be able to see some of that unfold here, too. So there's just so much. I know they're meeting with the city, the library, and Parks and Recs to see the after-school program. There's funding, and not necessarily funding, but resources for them too. So they really are engaged in helping our community in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, and all throughout Alaska.
Uh-huh,
Alaska
uh-huh.
Children's Trust.
Yep.
Great. So lastly, thank you for that information.
Uh-huh.
So for any community member who is interested, there is a potluck September 28th at the Nolan Center from 6 to 7 p.m. That is on Saturday, the last Saturday of the month, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, bring a dish. You're welcome. And it's to celebrate Kay Larson and her her being a champion for kids. Congratulations.
Yeah. Don't want all the attention on my... That's the hardest part of this, is nobody likes to be self-promoting.
Well, potlucks are yes. a great way to share and not... Yeah, even if it is just to celebrate you, it's still a great way for everybody to be together.
I'm blushing again, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. So that... Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, just thank you to KSDK has been so wonderful. Every single time we asked, you know, to make announcements. They're big on top of it. And the same with the Sentinel. We have great community, Chamber of Commerce. There's just a great network of people here trying to make Wrangell a better place.
Thank you so much. We're happy and lucky to have you. So that was Kay Larson speaking about her recent recognition for the Alaska Children's Trust Champion for Kids. And this is Talk on the Rock. We are now heading into World Cafe.